Good evening, everybody. We're holding in middle of Perek Mem Vav, where he's speaking about the general usage of Chazal, of Psukim, to speak about Inyanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his basic point that he said before was that sometimes we want to just define a metzias without going into the mechanics. For instance, let's take a contemporary mashal. Let's say there's a building that has a lot of great security and so on. So I'll tell somebody, you know, be careful in that building. There are eyes on you wherever you go, and the walls have ears. Now, the poor kid might think that the walls have ears, you know, and they might be looking for ears and eyes, and he's not going to find them. But the point that we're trying to make, we don't need to go into a great description of what a microphone's like or what a camera's like. We just need to give a description of an activity. So the Torah, and that's what he says, a mashal. If I want to tell you, give this to Yanko, so I'll tell you the tall guy with the white shirt. So that's not a terribly accurate or essential description of Yanko, but it serves my purpose. So here also, all of these terms were used for that. And then he says, we're holding here, Mishpat HaKelim Kulam. That's why I have marked off. Mishpat HaKelim Kulam. So it's an Amud Pei Vav. If you're using the same edition, I'm using the Ibn Shmuel without the Pirush. Mishpat HaKelim Kulam Be'emes Echad. Hanira Mehem Vapnimi. All these different vehicles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, you have whether it's items that are visible like eyes and ears, or if it's pnimius like me'ayim, kulam kelim lifulois hanefesh hamischalfis, they're all kelim be'etzem for humans, for animals, etc. Mehem kelim tzarech hamidus ish zman kevar pnimius shelanu. Some of it is to keep us alive for some time. So our intestines and the parts of us that absorb food and so on, they're all there for us to live. Some to keep the species alive, like the you know, giving birth. Some of them are there to be misakin the person needs activities, he needs to be able to run, to be able to walk, and so on. All of them are needed for activities that a person is dependent on. A person needs to find his food someplace, a person needs to grab his food, etc. The reason why balachayim need to move is because they either need to find food or they need to run away from an enemy. And the reason why we have senses is to sense these things, where there's danger, where there's food. And a person needs to be able to prepare clothing, etc. Just like we share certain things with animals, activities that bring food, shelter, etc. When a roya shemadam yisupakloi shakai isparach bilti tzarech ledova. No one can say HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs something. That would be almost an impossibility. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs food, if he doesn't eat for a week, what happens? It's crazy. But on the police of Be'atzmoy Loi Bekli. So it says, first of all, he does not have tools. And even what he does is not through a kli. And all these koyachs we've listed are tools. So So he says there are two things. I want to discuss it. The first thing he says is, if we are to allocate some sort of a varim to Ribbono Shel'olam, we're automatically allocating deficiencies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have lungs because we need oxygen, and so on. No one can assume any need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because then you assume the possibility that, if you have a need, means without it, you don't exist. Two, he says a second point here that he mentions briefly, but a very important point. This is a point that's repeated and said in different places, the Rambam himself and all Sfarim. For us, we have different, what's the right word for it, types of abilities. And therefore, they're expressed through tools. So our eyes see, they can't hear. Our ears hear, they can't see. These are external features. There are people low laying without eyes. There are people low laying without ears. And these are all tools, like almost like an appliance that has extra tools on board. I can say this person thinks with this part of the brain. He reacts with this part of the brain. He breathes through this part of the brain and this muscle and so on. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no chilukim. When we speak about his chachma, or we speak about his charoin af, or we speak about his tuvo in chastoi, they're all descriptions of us, but not. So the mashal, let's take a simple mashal, oversimple, but still. I have an object in my plate, and a half a dozen people taste it. Not the same object, we'll assume, for reasons of sanitary reasons. Each one takes one of these things. One person says, "Oh yeah, it's mushy." Another one says it's bitter. Another one says other description, it's salty. Each one of these. So the object is all of these things. It's the same. The saltiness of salt and the crispness of the salt and the granular quality of salt, it's all the salt. But for the person tasting it, it is different. So therefore, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any activity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is him. It's the same him. There are no tools on board, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koil everything together. So those are two reasons why these various descriptions of eyes and nose and ear and so on can't mean anything other than just a term to tag something. I want to say you're under observation. I say there are these big eyes looking at you without blinking, whatever it is. I want to go back to one point before. Baruch Hashem, today it's a generation when we have the luxury of Ipcha Mistavra. So the group of people that nominally consider themselves Orthodox, but question, does everybody have to agree to the Rambam? Does everybody this Rishon seems to talk of corporeality? This one, that one, the other one. Well, it's mostly Shtusim Vavolim. I mean, even what they come up with. But I want to try to understand why it's an impossibility at Bimach Locus. So one line of reason is obviously that basically you're defining a glorified Avodah Zarah. If you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a shape and a body, but it's made out of a very rarefied fire, then that's basically just another idol. No, manishtan, it's just a question, this or that or that idol. But I want to pursue a different akuda that I feel is inherent to Rambam here. So a person says, okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam, using the psukim, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a nose, but it's very, very refined, very ruchnistic, fire, whatever you want to call it. Let's ask ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't live on the earth. Wherever he lives, he's either lived in the entire universe, however you're going to take this muscle and whack it out. Why in the world would HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a nose when you can't breathe in 99.9% of the universe? there's nothing to breathe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hearing things when there's nothing to hear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu having feet. Says so, Raglov, Hadom Raglov. What use are feet out there? You're taking the entire human body, who L'chola evolutionary deus is absolutely perfect for living on earth. And why doesn't God have a pair of wings? You know, it's a much more, it's a lot more useful out there. Malachim have wings because they're out there, they're flying or flapping around all over the Shemayim. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu look like a human being? And he came before us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu came first, that everybody's made, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So he's this refined form that looks exactly like a person in a context that has no meaning. Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Pi Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, who, you know, where does the wind come from? Where does the air column come from? What does he eat? It's crazy. It has no meaning to it. I mean, using, let's put ourselves, okay, so let's say people learned the Pesuk, they thought it's that. So what do they think Hashem has a mouth for? Or a nose when there's no oxygen to breathe? Or no surface to walk on? So are there feet? And so on. Where does the Yad Hashem reach out to? Where exactly does that Yad go from where to where? Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing if he has feet? You got to stand on something. You can't have feet and not stand on something. All of that those are all reasons why it doesn't, you could not imagine anything like it about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now he brings a Maima Chazal. Amar Chazal, Maima Koilel. So Rambam is going to bring a fascinating raya. It's the Rambam's depth of intellect that comes up with a raya like this. I'll show you a maimer that Chazal didn't even begin to think of Akshama. Nobody could even have a havamin. And that's why Chazal also had no problem using anthropomorphic terms to describe Kodesh Baruch Hu because they learned it from Nevi'im. They felt that once the Nevi'im talk about it, it's obvious that no one is going to make a mistake. It's all a mashal, which just sort of describes something that exists. So Chazal picked up that the Psukim call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a king, and they use all of the different elements that a king uses. He has Misharosim, he has Mitzavim, he has executioners. So Chazal also took that structure of Marshall and used it. And therefore they said, if the Nevi'im talk with this language, this is appropriate language. Obviously no one's going to make any mistake, and they went ahead with it. So this is the Maima Chazal that says this. It says, Godol kochel sa Nevi'im. Great is the koach of Nevi'im. She medaminus at tzura liyotzer. They compare the tzura to the yotzer. She nema val dmus akise dmus kemar adam. The Navi allows himself to say that on the chair, there is like a mara adam. Kvar biaru. All of these sights that the Nevi'im saw was a Mar Nevua, Hem Tzuris Nevrois. They are all created. The Mar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them, they're not seeing the original, they're seeing a demonstration of something. They're seeing Halakayetz Baruch Baram Vu Emes. He called Tzura Meduma Hebrua. So this is where the Rambam says, "Gevalt Lamas." What does it mean, "Gadol Kocham of the Neviim that are Medamer Tzur to Yitzer"? I mean, Akadosh Baruch Hu showed him that something. So he says like this: "Ki ilu heral atzma leshom sheinu kasha lehem, ki kein yomru leolam kshiksha lemaima shenema ipol shenifal, v'yesh b'ner eyu gnus." So he uses as a prototype for this expression a Gemara that says it says Rav so and so used a certain type of shoe for chalitza. He did it with yachid, now didn't have a bezin, or balaylan at night. In other words, he took on himself a tremendous kula to passing all three things le kula. Amar Ploini kamarav guvrei dava bechidor. Well, he's got such big shoulders. He's got so much power that he feels comfortable to rest on his shoulders such great kulas. The rav guvrei hu gadol koychoi. The word rav guvrei is parallel. It means gadol kocho. In other words, whenever we talk about somebody taking on his shoulders something that requires a lot of what's the right word for it? A lot of achrayas, guts to be able to do it, we say rav koichai, gadol koichai, rav guvrei. Ukeilim oimrim. So in effect, what Chazal is saying. Take a look what Nevi'im had to assume on themselves, what they had to take on their responsibility. They needed to be able to make a statement by Kadosh Baruch Hu about Nevi'im. And say that it could use those terms to describe Kodesh Baruch Hu. It takes a lot of achrayas to do that. So if the Nevi'im did it, they obviously felt they could take that achrayas. That's the Rav Guvrei. Above is ma'oid v'apir shubir al atzmam hine koysa me'amonis hagashmas. So you see that Chazal describe the translation of description of Kodesh Baruch Hu to physical metaphor as taking a lot of risk, guts, whatever it is, because of the mistakes. So they saw these demuyos and they went ahead and used them as mishalom. So that means Chazal themselves perceived this usage of metaphor to be risky and to take great shoulders to bear that. So Bal Karchach, they didn't believe that this is factual. Because Chazal is saying, they're saying, Godol Koychon Shal Nevi'im, Shedaz Etzu Yoitzer. Look how much Nevi'im felt that they were able to take on themselves if they were medamet zur leitzra. So obviously being medamet zur leitzra is extraordinarily risky because of the fact that it's not kipshuto, because of the fact that it carries that level of problem mistake. So that's what Chazal exactly are telling us. Umi sheyir tzalach shivra lehem akhalel mamorim al tzadara. If somebody still wants to be moitzilaz on Chazal that they believed in fact, so Chazal not responsible. After having made such a statement describing how outrageous, so to speak, it is, this comparison of it, a comparison of Tzur Yitzra, and the reason is obvious. If somebody still is moitzilaz on Chazal, Chazal not to blame. Then it's the person's own problems, own issues, and so on. I want to mention one more thing. Chazal use all sorts of interesting terms. The word kaviyochol, I did a computer check on it. Recently, somebody was talking about it, and I did a computer check. The word kaviyochol has only one meaning. It means as if it could be. Kaviyochol. It's mentioned 15 times in Bavli, 15 times Yerushalmi, a bunch of times in Tosefta, and over 100 times in Medrash Rabbah. So Chazal used that phrase an awful lot of times because, they understood that that using this language opens up a Pandora's box, and they used it enough times. They said kaviyochol, in Marshal Sabes Oizen, kaviyochol, the Bialim can't do this, kaviyochol that, all the terms that describe some sort of, and a lot of it is emotional. A lot of it is like a muscle, as if somebody had this and that, or any type of thing like that. Chazal used that term extremely frequently. So to say that Chazal, that someone says that Chazal believed in it, it's really, really flying in the face of all these Gemaras. Okay, let's go to Perek Mem Zayin. Kvar zachanu pam pa'amim. So the exception is we use many items as mishalom for Kadosh Baruch Hu, things that are perceived as being ganai or chisaron. We don't use them because they're quite shemayim. Leishelusif in vur leisbarach ve'afal pishem mishpatim shadavam shushalo. Even if you can use it to describe something on Hagar Kadosh Baruch Hu, we still don't use those types of descriptions. And those terms used, they define a positive quality. So you say when a person his hand, his great hand, his outstretched hand, his powerful hand, those are positive terms and they denote some sort of positive quality, as opposed to some other thing, which would be just chisar. So now you would like to explain why of the five senses, hearing, seeing, and smelling are attributed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, taste and touch are not. It's all the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not see, has no eyes, has no ear. So what's the difference? V'achushim kulum chisorim b'pchinas ha'soge, v'afil misha asik elo behem. Yes, mispalim, mispaskim, kovim, kashakim. And any chush, even the eyes, they're wonderful, we have eyes, but eyes have in themselves chisorim. Weaker eyes, stronger eyes, dry eyes, weary eyes. I could work out a metaphor for tamishus. It's worse by shuyasik and itamu shashim kimishpasikulechad. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I guess, understands what the taste is. The im to shulam asos ech mehem to schayv shulasasur kulam. And if you and it's either or, all the five senses are physical. So what's the difference? They should be going all together. So what's the difference? One of the strongest aspects of how we dehar Kadosh Baruch Hu is there is no physical contact with the Bria. You can't shake a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. So and that's something that's a very strong bias. These two asagas, Tam and Mishus, they need to make physical contact with whatever it is that they're sensing. So touch, obviously, and taste. Whereas sight, sound, an odor, I don't have a physical contact with whatever it is that I'm being masik. So that's why it was felt to be more appropriate for someone to say, you know, Hashem saw me, is something that is still refined. When I say Hashem slapped me on my back, that's no. The oid. The reason why we give him at all senses is in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're doing. So sight and sound is enough. So not clear about Reach over here. Doesn't quite mention why Reach is one of the things, Vayarach, like this week's Parsha, and so on. But he says it's only necessary. There's nothing in the world that we say it's necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to taste something or to feel something. Seeing means getting information. Okay. V'ati yedeh derech emes, ki mishpat ha'kol mishpat echad, v'chi betzad she'ruchak men ha'sogas ha'mishus v'atam, but you know that be'emes lamitoi, just like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no, just like there's no seeing and hearing and smell like we know it. These are all physical activities. They come, they go. They have no shaychus to lakus. The difference is just some of these things. Seeing we feel is a very noble type of activity. Touching not. So fantasy, we see as something being a chisaron. So say HaKadosh Baruch Hu daydreamed would be to us, it's a negative term, it's a pejorative term. Masha'enkin HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking. That's to us a positive term. So we do. We apply A, but not B. So even though, I mean, thinking for us is a physical activity, uses brain and cells and so on and so forth, but Klal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're able to borrow the term. V'hine era basogis apnim is gamkink, v'sh era basogis achushis aniroiz, and the same thing true about all the other avarim of a person. Some of them were borrowed for you know, to describe things about some of them not. And it all depends on the things that he just spoke about before. Anything that they felt is a shleimus thing to think they describe us about that. The truth be said is there is absolutely no description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can in any way apply to him except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason is because anything else would imply some appendage, some nekuda other than Baruch Shalom, and the Mela, that would not, we couldn't use it. But we do use it, and the Indian is we use terms that we feel are positive. We'll describe it with those terms. Okay, we'll hold it here.